What does the rest of the season mean for Andrew Barry and Kevin Stefanski? We're having that conversation right here. And Daryl and Andy talk about it on their podcast. It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast. 92.3 The Fan, the free Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. I mentioned that. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. And I think, you know, I think when it comes down to it, one, I think you and I are both probably right. This is all about emphasis on how much you think this is. But I think where Browns fans are split right along our lines, which are, you think this is a talent issue. I think that this is, I really am worried that, okay, when we subtract the quarterback out of it, because I think that's the conversation. We subtract the quarterback out of it and subtract Deshaun out of the situation. When I see a team that has 60 penalties in 7 games and 22 of them classify as other, and that is motion penalties, that is pre-snap stuff, basic stuff. There's a fair amount of people in Cleveland that just want to throw that at the feet of Deshaun Watson. Well, you got 10 games to prove that.
And you watched even on Sunday, you watched when Deshaun was out, it's not like the illegal shift penalties just went away. We still had the penalties.
And it was the timing of the penalties. And it starts to get personal for me when you're making little league mistakes and you're not little leaguers, start to really get pissed about it. Like, because that's embarrassing. When you've got a touchdown called back for a false start or an offsides penalty, that's really embarrassing. When the only way in NFL you can get explosive plays going unless you have, I don't know, an elite level quarterback is motion, and you can't do basic motion. And all I hear from anyone is, you know, we just gotta do better. Well, you've been saying that for 7 weeks now.
Or we worked harder at practice. Yeah. Oh, you did now. And, okay, great.
And I think when it starts to come out to this, listen, the Browns under Kevin have been the most penalized team in the league.
Yeah.
So there has been a theory here. This has been an issue. But now it's really getting to a point where it is obscene and it's obvious what is going on here. I think people who might today just be swiping their hands and say this is a Deshaun problem, they might be the people that in another 5 games have turned their opinion on this, because those things, like bad teams aren't doing this at the level you're doing it.
Yeah, I also wonder, though, if you get the penalties cleaned up and everyone seems like they're all in line, I just wonder if we get to a spot where it's like, oh, you mean Jameis isn't awesome. Jameis is still having some of the same problems that even Deshaun had, too. I think that's going to be reality in many respects. I'm not expecting, I don't know what you're expecting out of Jameis on Sunday. I'm expecting him to throw a bunch, and I'm expecting him to throw down the field a bunch. I'm not expecting him to be anything close to what we saw previously with Joe Flacco last year.
No.
Or really anything that we've seen in a couple years.
Can I set
with
the
Stefanski.
Bar?
Yeah, please
functional.
Do.
Functional. They haven't been functional. For 7 weeks, they haven't been functional.
Well, yeah, we've been statistically the worst offense in football and by a lot quarterback
but, like,
play.
I think that's even an understatement. It's the worst when you factor in how much money people are making on offense, when you factor in the alleged talent on offense, it's the worst offense I've ever seen. It's more talented.
Well, and that's why I'm saying I don't think it's going to be a, hey, let's get the penalties fixed and all of a sudden our problems are going to be just gone away.
But I think that's what's informing my frustration with Kevin and the offensive staff is you're not functional. It doesn't take a lot to be functional in the NFL. It really doesn't. And that's why the Deshaun stuff was always a little cutesy that it was all on Deshaun. It was a lot on Deshaun. It was most on Deshaun. But when I'm talking about a pro offense with a bunch of guys making an ass load of money and you can't function in the NFL.
You're giving me the McConaughey eyes.
I was going full De Niro.
Is that what it was?
216-474-0092.
It looked like you wanted to go ahead and remind me of some of your European heritage there.
Sure about that?
What's going on?
You talking to me? So the question here is how much of his...
I'll face the door when eating with you. Thank you very much.
Now that Deshaun... is done so for the rest of the year. Are you expecting it to look better on offense? Marilyn and Westlake, welcome to the show. Oh, Marilyn.
Oh. Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
So one of the things I wanted to say is there's several reasons why I think this is a silver lining. First of all, you never want to have a player be injured. And so my heart goes out to Deshaun and to his family for that. But I think it's a silver lining for the Browns management staff for one reason. I think that, first of all, they aren't going to say that they made a bad mistake, and they had a big investment. So they had to support Deshaun in every way they could to make him feel comfortable and give him everything to be successful in their eyes. So whether it's an offensive coordinator, whether it's changing plays around what he's comfortable for, you know, they couldn't bring in a second string or third string quarterback that was strong because, again, the minute Deshaun isn't playing well, the fans would start to say, put in Flacco or put in the backup quarterback. This way, they're committed to making sure Deshaun had everything that he needed. Okay, he's now out of the picture. They could bring in strong quarterbacks. They could change the plays to what was making them successful in the past. They could change the players around there. And then the last piece is, if you know, the caller that you had that was a former coach, his comment was, a lot of the bad plays that we have, you know, or the penalties that we have, that's around the quarterback. That's not the head coach. So we'll see how much of that cleans up now that we don't have Deshaun helping make some of those errors. And the last piece I wanted to say is, if you remember the interview that Amari did last year when Flacco was in, his comment that he said was, it's so great to have a professional on our team in our locker room. Read between the lines. What was that saying? So that goes to your culture. We'll see how much of that culture improves as well when Deshaun is not in the locker room influencing the players' attitudes. Marilyn, so those are my comments.
Marilyn, yes. We appreciate you. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
I think what he said was it was a jolt to the offense. I don't think he mentioned the professionalism.
I think it might be a little mischaracterization there. But what I will say is, Marilyn waited a while and she was ready to go. Sometimes you
I do
go,
like that. It was bam.
She had 3 points she wanted to get to. So I think that's where a lot of fans are. This is why the next 10 games are so important. It's why we shouldn't just forget about them on Sunday, because I want to continue to cycle back to this. Do you understand the amount of things that have to go wrong for it to look that bad and for us to use words like functional? Now, you and I have been talking about everything's on the table. There's one theory on why it might be okay to trade Myles Garrett, and it is the fakest thing I've ever heard. And I'm going to go ahead and enjoy that next on 92.3 The Fan.